First, I must thank the Lord for moving on my body. I was sick as I've been in a long time, and God has definitely moved. I know it sounds rough, but as I told somebody today, I'm not 100%, but you get sick enough, you'll be happy with 30% or 40%. You're desperate, you know, just to get out of this bed. And as Brother Steve said, I began to meditate on speaking tonight, and I thought about giving my personal testimony. I didn't update him. I'm sorry. I changed a little bit. I began to meditate on my favorite scripture in the Bible, and it brought me to a thought that I would like to talk to you about tonight, and that is, what is your greatest desire? We have come through what is called the Christmas season, and there was a lot of desires, right? A lot of wants. A lot of them got met, and some of them probably didn't get met. There was desires for the latest in technology, and in this game, and that game, and in clothing. And, you know, if I were to ask you in here, what is your greatest desire right now? I probably would get a variety of answers. I don't have time to go through the room, but I probably get a variety of answers. Do you know, young people, if in a year when we stand in here, on New Year's Day, 2013, and I asked you what your greatest desire was, would it be the same thing as you expressed to me right now? Would it change any? That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Our greatest desire, if it's one steadfast, solid focal point in our life, it won't change. You know, as you look at this year, starting today, what is your greatest desire for the year? And I thought, well, maybe I could imagine, maybe some of you, your greatest desire is to graduate. I mean, 18 years, you know, 12 years, 13 years of school, and it's been rough, and that just is right there, and you can almost grasp it, and it's such a strong desire. It's overwhelming. That's all you can think about. Or maybe you want a boyfriend or girlfriend so bad, and you've waited so long. And wasn't it interesting that Brother Foster, I don't know his name, but spoke this morning, Vossler, said he was 36. I'm sure that was a strong desire that he really had to give to the Lord. But maybe this year you're just like, oh, Lord, I've been praying for the right one, and it's just not here yet, and I've waited. Or, you know, maybe you want to be 18, and you're tired of people telling you what to do, and you're ready to take hold of your life. Maybe that's your greatest desire. You know, I hear and I see a lot of these desires in young people. You know, I thought it was interesting. One of my favorite things on the internet is Google. My mom, I get tickled at her because mom's not does not have a computer, and she's not going to have a computer because that's just not her thing. But when I tell her about Google, she gets excited, and she's decided she wants a Google because it gives her lots of information. So I said, well, Mom, I'll help you with that. So I asked Google my greatest desire, and I thought it was interesting, the results I found. One person said their greatest desire was to see Barack Obama become president. Okay, now that's a little outdated. However, I think it'd be interesting maybe if I could ask that person, you know, how'd that pan out for you? You know, and maybe they still think he's great. I don't know. I don't want to get political here. But I thought that was interesting that a person, they put my greatest desire. Other people put find love, find fulfillment, overcome fear. One person said to walk again was their greatest desire. One person said to share God's message with others. One person said to be a millionaire. One person said to have complete and total power. Some of those are good. Some of those are a little disturbing. But I still say I don't really agree. None of those are my greatest desire. As I read that, you know, and I thought back. I've had some strong desires in my life. That back to when I was a kid. And I'll share a story. We used to go to Cedar Point many times. Once a year we get to go. And I don't know if I was 10 or 8 or what. I'm telling you what, as it got closer to that day, nothing in my life mattered but Cedar Point. I knew what rides I was going to ride, how many times I was going to ride them. I had it planned out. I think I had the park memorized. That consumed me. That was my greatest want and desire, probably at that moment in my life. And then I thought, as I got a little older, you know, there's been other great consuming desires. I don't want to use the word greatest yet, but maybe consuming desires. I had a desire. I had a certain path that I thought I was going to follow after high school, and it was a strong desire. And the Lord had to work with me on that and show me that it wasn't His. Do you know, as I'm talking about desires, and the definition of desire is what drives us. So as we're having that strong desire. That's what's propelling us to get our objective, right? Today we live in a day of instant gratification. You want it now, you get it now. I remember as a kid, we didn't get much candy. Mom and Dad didn't have a lot of money. And you know, I'm actually kind of thankful we didn't have a lot because it taught me great appreciation for things. But in the lunchroom, we would sell the world's greatest candy bar. And I think it cost $1.50. And it was a big, and it was good chocolate. Well, I'd wait and it'd be half price when the sale was over and they had extra candy. And I'd find 75 cents somewhere and I'd make that candy bar last for weeks. I'd take a bite a day because there was no instant gratification. I had to wait and I knew it was gonna be a long time before I got another one. Now, if you'd give me one of those today, there'd be no one bite a day. It'd be gone before I got home, I could promise you. But times have changed. We've got credit cards. We've got instant access. I want it. I get it. And so it is within our desires and our life. We sometimes want to translate that into our spiritual and our goals, and we get frustrated when we don't get them the moment we want them, the moment we think that we've got to have them. When is our greatest desire for earthly things? And I looked up a few scriptures in Ecclesiastes 6 and 9. And I haven't got to my favorite one yet, but I will. It says, better is the sight of the eyes. That means what's here right now, what I have. Better is that than the wandering of my desire, wanting this and wanting that. And guess what Solomon said? It's vanity. You're striving after the wind. The wind was pretty strong today, wasn't it? Did anybody go out and try to grab hold of it? Take hold of it? That's foolish, Sister Sherry. It is. And so is that running after this desire and running after that desire and running here and trying to grasp this. Solomon said, it's like running after the wind. The Amplified says, striving after the wind and feeding on it. The thing about strong desires is they come and they go. When I was looking up technology, that it was interesting. Kindle came out a while back, right? Kindles are pretty awesome, and I know very little about them. I know you can read a book on them. So I look up, and oh my, we got Kindle, and we've got Kindle Touch, and now we've got Kindle Fire, and who knows what's coming out next year. Then I look up, iPad. Oh, well, great. Well, we're on 2 now. And I look up right below 2, it says latest gadgets, upcoming gadgets. 3 is on its way. If you've got 2, they've already got something better in the making. And the same thing with the iPhone. They're working on, is 4 out? Guys, help me out here. So they're working on 5, okay? And they're already telling us how 5 is. What does that do to us, guys? We've got 3 and 4 is here. Oh, I gotta have the next best thing. I'm not satisfied. What did the scripture say? The sight of the eyes. Well, look at that. I saw a cartoon one time. God was carrying a laptop out of a computer store. And the minute he stepped out of the store, a little thing sprung up and went, boom, out of date, expired. Isn't that how technology is? Yes. Isn't that how the want of the eyes is? The minute we get it, somebody else has something better. And if we're not careful, we're going to try to grasp the wind here and here and here. And we're going to run back and forth, and we're not going to catch it. When your greatest desire is where it should be, all the other things will fall in place. Now my favorite scripture, in Psalms 27 and 4, if you'd turn there. And when you're going, I thought about, you know, sometimes Sister Becky Foster, when she's exhorting a little bit, she'll talk about how if you emphasize a different word, it makes the whole sentence sound a little different. And I thought about it when she said that. And so I think in this scripture, my emphasis is on the first two words. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. There's a lot of things in my life I have desired, I am desiring, I will desire. But one thing. Now David wrote the scripture, you know. He said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now I don't think that means we're supposed to go get our bags and find a Sunday school room, right? To park in, we're gonna live here. No. The house of the Lord at that time is where God's presence dwelled. And it wasn't the temple, because the temple was not built. Who built the temple? Solomon, David's son, absolutely. So this would have been maybe at Shiloh or perhaps on the threshing floor. I don't know where the tabernacle was at that time. But today, when we say, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord, that means I want to be where God's presence is at. That's where God's presence was at that time. So my greatest desire, according to David in this scripture, that's I'm going to be where God's at. I'm going to get my will lined up with what God's will is. That's my one thing. And I thought tonight, if I could have found a puppet, it would be kind of neat. And I realize we're not puppets. We have our own will. But it almost reminded me as a puppet with all these strings. If we're attached to the one thing, everything is so beautifully orchestrated. It so beautifully works together. But if one puppet's over here and his string's not attached, he's not going to work well. And so it is with our desires. If they're attached to that main focal point, if we've got our one thing where it's supposed to be, we're going to have all the things down here that we need. It'll work together. But guess what? Here's the one thing, and I want this boy, and that string's not attached, it's not in God's will, oh, it's not going to be pretty, young people. If I want this career, and it's not in line with the one thing, it's not going to be pretty. It reminds me a little bit about my marriage, and I love how the scriptures relate our relationship with Christ to a marriage. Because how many of you in here can see my relationship with Christ? Not so much. You can see the fruit of it. You can see my talk is better. My actions are better. They're Christ-like. But you don't actually see it. But you can see my relationship with Brother Steve. You can see how we interact with each other. And so that helps us to understand the relationship between us and Christ. And so if my greatest desire, if my one thing when it comes to marriage is to have a happy home, I'm going to have some secondary things that are going to line up. I'm going to spend some time with Brother Steve. How am I going to know him if I don't spend time with him? I'm going to find out what he likes. I'm going to try to not fix food for supper that he doesn't care for. If there's certain things that his personality doesn't enjoy, I'm going to do my best to avoid those. And this is the same thing with our relationship with God. If we've got our one thing where it's supposed to be, we're going to spend some time getting to know him. We're going to read his word. We're going to spend some time talking to him. Can you imagine what my marriage would be like if we didn't talk? Bad news. What's my relationship with like God if I don't talk? Bad news. And I'm going to learn God's likes and his dislikes. I'm going to learn his personality. But young people, if your greatest desire, if your one thing is not where it's supposed to be, you're not building a relationship with God. You're building something else. You're building something else. Why is it important that our greatest desire be fixed on the one thing, the right thing? Well, James 1:8 tells us if we don't have one purpose, we're double-minded, we're unstable, just like chasing the wind. Almost like a dog chasing its tail, right? We're going to go in circles, never catch anything, never amount to what we could, never achieve our full potential. I want this. Oh, wait. Expired. I want that. Oh, wait. Somebody else has something better. And you're like a ship with no course, no direction, no anchor, no steadying point. I thought it was interesting as I studied this. I didn't realize, or I had forgotten, that Jesus spoke about one thing. Does anybody know where that was at? Was that?
I don't know.
Okay, the story. He came to the house of Mary and Martha. And one sister was busy with many things. And one sister was worried about one thing. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. As a result of not desiring the greater, we settle for the lesser. Can I say that again, young people? As a result of not waiting, not desiring, not having our focus on the one thing and waiting and working toward it, we settle for less. David said one thing. We can read where Paul spoke of one thing. We get distracted when we're going after many things. We lose our focus. Our priorities become mixed up. Isaiah 57 and 20 tells us that the wicked are like the troubled sea. I wonder why he said that. What's a troubled sea do? Back and forth, right? No peace, no calm. But it goes back and forth. And that's what the wicked do. This thing. And then that thing. And then that doesn't make them happy. So they're after this thing. And after that thing. And the warning to us is, don't get caught up in that. It's not going to bring happiness. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 8 through 10, I count all things but loss. Everything else is really a waste of my time, except that I might win Christ, be found of him, and know him. I skipped a few words there. But again, everything else is really a waste of time. Now, when Paul said that, if you study much about Paul, he had a lot of things he could have told you he had accomplished. He had a lot of things to be proud of. It wasn't that he was a bomb off the street with no name and no accomplishments. When he gave his pedigree, he was a pretty important person. But he said, oh, that's not important. That one thing, my one thing, is that I'll know Christ. I'll be found in him. If you truly desire that one thing, you'll put action to it. When I tell you desire, the word desire says, desire is what drives us. Part of the definition. If you really got your one thing in mind, Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, wanted to see, didn't he? Really bad. He heard Jesus was coming. Bartimaeus starts yelling and making a scene, and people are like, be quiet, Bartimaeus, really? Be still. He didn't let it stop him. He wanted it so bad. He needed to talk to Jesus. And young people, if you really desire the one thing, you're going to be like, you're going to put action to it. Now, I've talked about my greatest desire and what your greatest desire is. Let's talk just a minute. What is God's greatest desire for you? Timothy, 1 Timothy 2 and 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? The whole Bible is about God wanting a relationship with people. The Old Testament, God wants a relationship with Israel. I'll be your God and you can be my people. And they rejected him over and over. And we see the great love of God. And that's what we see all the way through the Bible. So if I'm saying one thing I desire is that I have the relationship with God, God's saying, well, that's awesome, Sister Sherry. That's awesome, Psalmist David, because that's what I've been trying to have with you ever since the beginning of time. Now, how much does God desire that? Well, John 3:16 tells us how much. So much. So much that he gave his son to die. Is it possible? Am I talking about something impossible? Jeremiah 29 and 13. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me. When you search for me with a little bit of your heart, part of your heart, sometimes when you have time, when nothing else is important, with all your heart, all your heart. Brother Reggie challenged me last night. It was good. Our heart can get divided way too easily if we're not careful. All your heart. God's waiting to have that relationship with you and with me. I want to end with a short poem, My Heart's Greatest Desire by Gertrude Jeffries. When I stand before my precious Lord and he looks at the life I've lived, will he be pleased with what I've done? Did I give all I had to give? Will I have crowns to lay at his feet? Will my works stand the fiery test? Lord, I've wasted many precious years before surrendering my best. The only words I desire to hear more than anything heaven affords is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. As you begin this new year, guys, there's going to be a lot of desires. And the devil knows if he can just get one of those desires to become too strong, let it start taking the place of your greatest desire, you're going to get off track. And he would like nothing better than to see every one of us in here fail. But thankfully, God, I've heard it said before, wants to see you succeed more than you do yourself. It's there for you. And so my favorite scripture from the time I've been little, someday I'll share more of my personal testimony, but that's just a start. One thing have I desired. You know what? I desired a husband. I desired children. I have desired many things in my life. But one thing, the number one thing, have I desired, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.